Welcome to the Coaching Ignited podcast. I'm your host, Alex Povey. It's great to have you here. This show is all about peeling back the curtain on what's going to help you build the fitness business you truly want. And each week we bring on a new guest to share their stories, insights, and strategies so you too can take action and apply what you learn. The podcast is released every Wednesday on all the major platforms, including Spotify and iTunes. So make sure you go give that a subscribe, guys. Now, if you're a personal trainer in a commercial gym with 500 plus members, and you want to fast track your income growth and learn how to sign multiple new clients a week, reach out to me personally through Facebook or Instagram and just drop me a private message so we can get the conversation started and see if you could be a good fit for one of our programs. All the links to my social can be found in the show notes so you can connect with me there. Now let's get into this week's episode. Enjoy the show. So Jay, really great to have you on the show. This has been overdue. Jay is someone that I respect very highly in the fitness space. He's got a wealth of experience. We were just joking, actually, because we look very similar with our current haircuts. For anyone seeing this live on Facebook. But I think my Zoom just cut out. Did I just lose you? No. You're still there. But yeah, Jay is someone that I respect highly in the fitness space. He is an expert when it comes to copywriting and content and speaking to audiences and really helping gyms and fitness business owners get their message out there, reach more people, generate more customers. And that's really what we're going to be speaking about today, because even though we're in the midst of a pandemic, we're in the midst of this COVID-19 situation, it's still really important to be putting out content and really speaking to your audience and your customers and potential customers. And that's really what Jay is really good at. So Jay, I just want to kind of hand it over to you and just give people an idea of what's been going on in your world over the last couple of months, because there's been a lot of changes. There's been a lot of different things happening in America, in the UK, in Canada. Just give us a general feel as to what you've seen from a fitness business standpoint over the last couple of months.
Okay, great. First of all, thanks for having me, Alex. I'm really happy to be here talking to you today. When you were talking about that, it just preparing to ask me and what do I see happening, the word that just came to mind is two words: constant change. Everything, it has been changing, is changing, and is going to continue to change. Initially, when this happened a couple of months ago, 10 weeks ago, however long it's been, I think a lot of people were sort of hoping that this would be something that happened, a discrete event with a clear beginning, middle, and an end. We would get to that end. We would move on with our lives. We would get back to the way things used to be. That's not how it's happened, of course. It's not how it's going to continue to happen. So the idea that a gym owner or a communicator or a bank executive or anyone can say, well, I changed, I did that, and I communicated about it, and now I'm done, that's just not going to be a fruitful strategy. This has disrupted everything, of course, and it's going to continue to disrupt everything, and we're not going to know for a while yet how it's going to shake down for everybody. Not only is everything constantly changing, but it's different everywhere. I can't really speak to UK, of course, but in the United States, it's different in every state. Mm. I live in Atlanta, Georgia. The governor of Georgia was the first governor to allow businesses to reopen after everyone was ordered to stay home. But I'm very close to a number of other states where that wasn't the case. And California, of course, is not there yet. And New York is not there yet. And, you know, the United States is such a large country and split up into these 50 different jurisdictions. It's just so different. And even within the states, if they allow some businesses to open, maybe gyms were in the initial wave of businesses that were allowed to reopen. Maybe they're not.
I want to dive in there. When you mentioned Georgia and obviously like them relaxing things in Georgia, have they opened up any gyms in Georgia right now?
Oh yeah, sure. The gyms were allowed to open on April 24th. I don't know that any of them were able to open on that date because the governor only gave them a few days notice. Most people were thinking it wouldn't be for at least another week, if even then. So even those who wanted to race to reopen, you know, there's a lot to do to get ready to do that. So the gym I've been going to for 15 years or so here in downtown Atlanta, reopened, I think the Monday after the Friday they were able to.
Okay. And just on that point, whilst we're there, because this is going to be interesting for anyone listening who's in a different state in America, because we've got an American audience, but also in the UK, because like we're behind that. So we're going to be at the tail end of what's happening in other places as they open, right? Because we're not going to open till maybe July, maybe even longer. But it would be interesting to hear from your standpoint. Have you been into that gym recently?
I have not. And I'll tell you for two reasons generally. One, of course, is the crisis. To be frank, I'm not quite ready there. I'm not ready to go back to the gym yet. I also wasn't ready to go to a hair salon, which was allowed to open. And so I took the clippers to my own head and did this to myself because I didn't want to go to a barber or a hair salon. And I haven't been back to a restaurant because I don't think that would be fun, you know, to have plastic sheets separating tables and to have the waiters wearing gloves and masks. Not my idea of fun. Now, I know a lot of my friends have gone back to the gym, and that's great. It's an individual choice. Good for them. I haven't done it. The other reason I haven't done it might sound kind of silly, but we have terrible springtime allergies in Atlanta. And for two or three weeks every spring, I sneeze violently all day if I go outside. And I didn't want to go to the gym.
Okay. So it's a personal decision. What I'm trying to kind of dig into here is like, what's the general vibe in that gym? Have you spoke to anyone that's going to the gym? Have you spoken to the owners? Yeah. Like, what are they feeling? What are they going through? What are they seeing? What's happening to the memberships? Like, what's the general like sense that's going on there?
Well, just at that particular gym, I've talked to a few people who have gone, friends of mine. They say there's never more than a few people there. It's a pretty big independent gym. Bigger than a typical studio, but much, much smaller than a big box and independently owned. And I think the owner told me that the most they've had in there usually before all of this would be 70 or 80 people. I've never seen that many people in there. It would be crowded to have that many in there. And I'm told by friends who've gone that there are usually maybe a dozen people there. The owner has capped it at 30, but I don't think they've had that. I don't think they've got to 30 yet, but they won't allow any more than 30 in at a time. And to get in, you have to, he's made a lot of changes to the physical space. And before checking into the gym area, there's a lobby. Off to the side of the lobby is a sink. You have to wash your hands. Before you can check in to go work out, you go to the front desk, which is separated. The person behind the employee behind the desk is separated by hanging plastic. Someone takes your temperature on your forehead. Uh-huh. If you're over 98.6, you can't come in. It's touchless check-in. You go in and some of the equipment is taped off. The treadmills, every other treadmill is taped off to conform with social distancing measures. And there's tape on the floor to say, this is one person's area, I guess. And, you know, to help us stay distant. There are a lot of sanitation stations and hand towels everywhere. Everyone is required to clean off all the equipment that they use before they use it and then again after they use it. So the owner has taken a lot of steps to ensure safety, as have other gyms in Georgia. I'm acquainted with other gyms in the state as well, including two similar size operations in the suburbs that have both opened and seem to be doing well. You know, they're putting a lot of emphasis on safety and on making sure people know what they've done regarding safety, which is going to get into communications and content as well when we talk about that. And, you know, they're sharing it on social media. Just today, Alloy, which is a gym not too far from Atlanta, had a video of a woman probably in her 60s working out and talking about how confident she feels there because of everything that they've done to provide a clean and safe environment. And she feels great doing it. And they had video of people working out in the gym separated by at least 6 feet. And so people are going. I will say, Alex, I want to make this point. There was not a mad stampede. Now again, this was a month ago, so it might be different if it happened today. But although the governor said all these businesses, including gyms, could open, There has not been a mad stampede to race back to the gym or the restaurants or whatever else, because a lot of people are like me. They just don't, they're not there yet. You know, they don't think that the numbers are there yet to justify going back. Now, some are, and that's fine. I'm not judging anyone. I'm not condemning anyone for doing that. If that's your decision, go for it. I'll make that decision at some point. But there wasn't this stampede. A lot of gyms didn't open, haven't opened. Some of them, as you know better than I, probably won't open, you know, because of all of this. Some of the big chains even sent out emails to all of their members here in Georgia saying, nice that the governor said we could, but we're not there. We're not reopening yet. Again, this was a month ago. I'm not saying it still is the case, but just I want to make the point that it was not party on by any means.
Yeah, and this is where it kind of brings us onto the content standpoint and why, like, yeah, communicating effectively to the members, potential customers, about the changes and what is going on is so important. And yeah, just take us through that. What have you seen that you've had to do with the content that you put out for your clients? Because you obviously provide great quality content for any fitness or studio facility that wants to market and get their message out there and build their brand and bring in customers. So how have you had to adapt things, and how are you constantly adapting things right now?
Yeah. Well, before all of this happened, most of my content had either as stated in each piece or underlying and strongly implied, you know, the reason for why someone would use my content was to encourage people to go to the gym. I produce content. I sell it to gyms and studios and trainers, and they then use it as their own with their own label and their own branding and what have you in their email newsletters, in their social media, on their blogs, whatever they want to. But those are the three primary channels that I create it for and that people use it for. So they use this to distinguish themselves in their community and to reach the right people that they want to reach to grow their businesses in the way that they want to grow it. Helps with getting new leads. It helps with nurturing prospects, and it helps also with retention. And so my original business model before COVID was, I'm going to generate a lot of content about the benefits of living a healthy lifestyle that show how much better your life is when you are healthy and exercise primarily. And that primarily involves going to the gym, because I'm selling to a gym and I want to help the gym get more money. Right. Mm-hmm. I want to help. My business is helping the gyms and studios and trainers grow. So the underlying message was, come see me, the gym, studio or trainer, and I'll give you a better life. Well, since COVID, of course, I haven't been able to do that. I've had to change the message a little bit, maybe like a quarter turn from go to the gym or studio or what have you to take care of yourself, live a healthy life, exercise as much as you can, you know, outdoors or in your home via Zoom, via other virtual services that your gym and studio are making available, but also nutrition and sleep and stress management and just overall wellness and well-being, so that it's been a slightly broader approach. But all those things are tied in together primarily for a slightly older demographic, which I often focus on, helping gyms and trainers who want to get that really huge, lucrative, over 50, over 60 market of people who have a lot of time and money on their hands and really value being strong, having endurance, having flexibility so they can enjoy their lives as much as they want to. You know, it's a different approach to communicate to people at that point in life than when, you know, your typical gym client or prospect might be 25 and wants to look good with the shirt off on the beach, or a young woman who wants to lose her baby weight, something like that.
Yeah, I may fit into that category. 25, on the beach, top off, six pack.
Good for you. All power to you and to all 25-year-olds with six packs. I think it's great. I think it's, I have nothing bad to say or imply about any of that. Just that the over 50 market is a huge, untapped opportunity for people in the fitness industry that's largely ignored because they think it's not sexy, or they think that older people don't have the time or the money and whatever. There's any number of reasons we can get into.
Yeah.
But But yeah, the point about content that I think we want to make, whether we're talking about that specific niche or another niche or a general fitness business, is particularly now with all of this going on, all the uncertainty and change, you have to get out there and tell your story over and over and over again on every platform, and then do it again, and then do it some more on all the platforms, and do it some more, because people won't remember, they won't know, they won't see the message, and they're wondering. I think more than anything, what we want right now, speaking for anyway myself and most people I know, is connection. I live alone. I'm very fortunate. I have a nice home, and everything I want is right here, and nice weather. I can go out for a walk on the bike trails and what have you. But I think people need connection. They're craving it right now. And the gym is one way to get that. It has been, you know, for everybody all the time. We like that social aspect of it. And your members and your clients are looking to you for leadership. They want to know what you're doing. They want to know how you can help them stay in shape when they can't leave the house, or even, you know, if the case is that they're technically allowed to leave the house and go to the gym, but maybe they don't want to yet. Yeah. They want you to help them. And it's on you to develop the key messaging and to share the key messaging in the ways that they're going to find it and understand it. And if that means Facebook posts and emails and blog posts and posters up on your business and notices in your local Chamber of Commerce newsletter, if that means texting everyone individually, if that means calling every one of your members and prospects even individually to say, hi, Joe Smith here at Joe's Gym. How are you? Haven't seen you, haven't heard from you. We care about you. We want you to come back. We want you to participate in our virtual training. We are here for you. Mm. You have to do that. That's where I'm finding the success, particularly with my gyms and studios who cater to the over 50 market. It's the people who are taking that extra step to reach out individually that are coming through, and they're consistently communicating clear, concise messages. The ones who are struggling are the ones who are just like, well, whatever, they'll figure it out. Or I told them last week, or I thought I put that on Facebook already. Not good enough.
Yeah. You mentioned something earlier, obviously, about being that supportive voice.
Yeah.
So whereas before it was like, hey, come down to the gym to train, get fit, get healthy, get active. Whereas now your content has moved more to, hey, that's not an option. So the gym has to now just pivot and be the supportive voice in the interim right. period, and just keep their awareness up and stay top of mind the consumer's mind so that they come back to the gym when they feel safe to do so. And then it's about that constant updating of, hey, we're going to be opening probably in the next 4 weeks, but before we do, why don't you do X, Y, and Z? And when we do open, this is how it's going to look. And then this is how it's going to look, because people like certainty and clarity. And the businesses and companies that can provide the most certainty and clarity are going to make people feel most comfortable in engaging back in those businesses and coming back to them. What have you seen from the businesses that are shrinking and potentially going out of business? How are they behaving?
Some of them had no cash reserves and no contingency plan for something going bad. Now, I don't mean that as a judgment or to condemn anyone. No one knew that the whole world would get shut down by something, of course. But I think it's pretty good basic business practice to have some reserves on hand, right? So that was a problem that wiped out a lot of people pretty quickly. Not a lot. I'm gonna scratch that. I deal with a lot of my subscribers and customers are very savvy, sophisticated business people who have been able to manage this because they made some good business decisions and because they are still communicating with their people, and that includes their employees. The ones who are struggling are, no surprise, the ones who just said, well, nothing I can do. Guess I'll close until this blows over. And, you know, maybe they didn't get on board with offering virtual training. Maybe they didn't do any sort of outreach with their clients and prospects to stay in front of them, to keep them fresh and updated and show that they care about them, even though they can't get their money right now, or they can't come in and see them personally. Those are the ones who are struggling. You know, I there's so many good people in this business, in this industry, and there's so many good clients who want you to succeed and who have been generous with their time and their money and their patience with their studios and their gyms and their trainers by saying, yes, I'll pay you during, you know, if we're going to be closed for a little while, I'll pay you for as long as I can, or I'll pay you for the first month or two, or what have you, offering understanding and support and flexibility. And that's, you know, how wonderful is that? I don't know if that happens in a lot of industries. They're invested in you. They care about you, and they want to know that you care about them. So you better show them consistently, clearly, compellingly.
Do you think it's fair to say, Jay, that from the businesses that you've spoke to, because you speak to a lot of business owners in the fitness space in all types of different states, do you feel like in the earlier days of the lockdown and the quarantine that a lot of people were just in denial of the severity of the situation and how long it would actually last, and people were just like, hey, let's just wait for a couple of weeks and let's see how this plays out? And that's just gotten longer and longer and longer, and now they're realizing, oh shit, wait a minute.
Oh shit, and it's too late now, isn't it? Because your competition, the ones who are succeeding, didn't wait. They didn't go take it as a vacation. Yeah, some people initially thought, well, this will be a couple weeks, whatever, everything will be fine. Or it's just the media blowing it out of proportion. Or there's nothing I can do about it, so I'll just go away till it blows over. And I certainly was somewhat guilty of that. I didn't ever have in my head, this will only last for 4 weeks. This will only last for 8 weeks. But when it happened, I did kind of get my back up and put my armor on and say, yeah, I'll be a good citizen. I'll be a good business owner. I'll be a responsible person. I'll stay home. I won't go out to eat, and I won't go to the gym, and I'll do all these things, and I'll, you know, be happy about it, because that's just what we have to do right now. But I have to admit, there was an asterisk next to that saying, for a little while, right? Well, it's been more than a little while and nothing's really changed. And so I've had to adjust my thinking about it, not so much as far as my business goes, but just as a human being, right? So I think a lot of gym owners, gym goers, everybody, yeah, we thought, well, this will be a short-term crisis. And instead it's open-ended. And the ones who dropped the ball or put it on the shelf and walked away from it are going to have a tough time picking it up. The longer we wait, more gyms are going to close permanently. More gyms are going to struggle in that first period of a month or 3 months, whatever the key initial timing is when they can reopen. I think those first 3 months are going to be just as important as what's happening right now as far as your long-term success. But if all you've done since this started is send an email saying we're closed until further notice, then they've moved on without you. They're going to find somebody else they probably have found somebody else to offer their, you know, online training or to do something else to have that exercise and that social outlet. You can't just drop people. This is a business about relationships. There's 1,000 gyms in the city. Why do I go to the one I go to? Because I like the people. And there's always, when every time I walk in behind the counter, the person behind the counter says, hi Jay, it's nice to see you today. And because if I don't show up for a week or two, when I finally do, someone says, are you okay? I haven't seen you in a while. There's weights and treadmills everywhere. I go there because I like that. So the community that you find at the gym, or what I do, that a lot of people do, and I think a lot of older people are really craving, you, the gym owner, the studio owner, the trainer, you have to continue nurturing that sense of community, even if people can't or don't want to come in to see you just yet. And you can do that, a lot of that virtually, of course, but also, you know, with the telephone and other means.
And that's a great point, because I had a lot of reflections myself on my behaviors and why I went to certain facilities, why I went to certain gyms. And I've mentioned this previously on the podcast, so I'm not really going to get into it. But it is very much about, experience and connection and relationships. And I want to make this practical for anyone listening, whether it's a trainer, a coach, a gym owner, or a studio owner. What are some of the core kind of pieces of content or messaging that people should be putting out right now to just keep the audience engaged and keep their business and their services top of mind? So maybe it's not about pitching or selling or trying to convert. Maybe it's just that voice that people need to hear to make them feel comfortable and maintain that sense of community. What would you say the content is that people need to put out right now?
Well, I think it needs to be it needs to be consistent and compelling. And by that, I mean, don't just do it once in a while. Don't do it when you have a minute. Do a pretty good routine, pretty good schedule. I send my customers plenty of content to send 3 emails a week, to post 5 social media posts a week, and to update their blog once a week. And those are the kinds of, that kind of consistency is going to help with your search engine optimization. And it's also going to establish to your readers that you care about this enough to do it regularly, that it's not just something you kind of burp up when you have a spare minute. And that's really important. People notice that, you know, people know when you're BSing it. And if you make it a formal schedule, or at least you're consistent about it, you know, to the day, I don't think you have to do it exactly at the same time every day. But if you do that regularly, that's the first thing. Second thing is, it shouldn't be about you. Like some of what you send people, of course, is going to be about your gym, when you're opening, what you're doing to take safety precautions, what they need to do and know before they come back, of course. But it shouldn't be about you, like how awesome you are, or how great your, how many certifications you got, or you know, now you have an 8-pack instead of a 6-pack. You know, any of that, nobody cares, right? They want to know, when are you going to be reopened? What do I need to know before I come in? And what are you doing to keep me safe? What are you doing to provide a clean environment? So those are some of the buckets that you need to be doing. But in addition, you just need to be providing the same content that you should have been providing before COVID, and you should continue providing after it, which is engaging, informative, entertaining, relevant to your audience, whether that's a broad audience or a niche, like slightly older people, like I tend to focus on, or teenagers, or new moms. Whatever your niche is, your content should be about, separate from when your gym's opening and what you're doing to keep them safe, you need to be sending them content that they're just going to enjoy reading. That when they see that you've sent them something in their inbox, they're going to go, oh, there's that guy, I like him. Or there's my gym. Yeah, he always sends me interesting articles. Wonder what he sent me today. Or maybe it's a photo that's inspiring, a meme that has an inspirational saying on it. Maybe it's a recipe, you know, that's relevant again to your niche. Like for the older, slightly older crowd, I make sure that my recipes are healthy for them. If you're not dealing with a niche, then just share recipes. People love that. They just want good stuff. People say to me, oh, I don't want to send 3 emails a week because I'll make people sick of me and it'll be annoying. And it won't be if you send them good stuff 3 times a week. They'll open it, they'll read it, they'll engage with you. Maybe not every time, but that's okay. You know, the point is that you want to maintain a presence in their awareness, and you want to keep them up to date on what's going on with your gym. So it's kind of 2 tracks. General information about fitness that is lifestyle oriented, that is the kind of thing you might read in People magazine or in Parade magazine, the Sunday insert, where it's very reader friendly, focused on the consumer. It's not about whether you should do the sumo squat or the traditional squat. It's not about, you know, whether you should do a spin class or a whatever. You know, it's not about the specifics of exercise. It's about how much better your life is when you're healthy. So those 2 buckets: general, upbeat, positive, informative, engaging, entertaining, etc. And then the specifics about what you're doing at your gym.
Yeah. And what I heard you say there is good quality content and consistency, right? So not just putting out junk content for the sake of putting out content. It's about putting some thought into it, making it engaging, making it entertaining, and making it about the consumer, not so much about yourself. That's and right. then doing it consistently over time just to just stay top of mind. What I'd like to do just to kind of take things a little bit further forward into the future, I want to get your outlook on how you see things playing out or what you forecast happening over the next sort of 6 to 12 months in the fitness industry. Because obviously you speak to hundreds of fitness business owners. You've got lots of different clients in lots of different states and parts of the world. So you must have a good general feel for what is going on in the marketplace. And again, we don't know. There's no absolutes. I'm trying to make my own forecasts just like you are and just like every other business owner is. But what do you see happening, changing, or playing out over the next 6 to 12 months, specifically in the fitness industry?
That's a big topic. That's a big question. So
I think you can take it any way you want it.
Thank you. I think that the word that came to mind again is more change. This is, we're in a river in a canoe paddling, and sometimes the river is going to be slow and smooth, and sometimes we're going to be in the rapids. We're not in a lake, and I don't think we're going to be for a while. You know, it's still too volatile. There's still too much going on, and there's still too many conflicting forces going on between our collective desire to have a normal life and our collective desire to not perpetuate illness, right? Well, that's going to depend, of course, on what happens with the science end of it. But as far as separate from that, I think we're going to see a lot of continuing change. I think we're going to see a lot of people still uncertain about whether they can go back, even if they're in a state where they can. And I think we're going to see some fitness businesses go under, whether it's 20%, 30%, I don't know, but I think it'll be a significant minority of gyms and businesses that can't make it through this. That might be similar for all small businesses. I don't know. I think I've read a lot. This is not my firsthand knowledge. This is just sort of buzz in the industry, so I'm not really presenting this as like some keen insight that I have, but I think the big boxes are going to struggle. They already are struggling a lot. And I think the studio system, and maybe even the smaller you get, you're going to have, I think you're going to be more appealing to a certain segment of the population. If you are smaller, you can control that space better. You can you can encourage and make sure that people are socially distancing more easily in that. You're going to attract a higher end client. You can charge them more. They're going to expect that you provide more safety and cleanliness than a big box gym. You know, if you're 60 years old and a married couple and you want to go back to the gym, you're going to spend a little extra money for that smaller studio that makes you feel very safe and secure. I don't think you're going to go into some giant gym full of, well, maybe not full these days, with a bunch of people who are just running around sweating and coughing and hugging and doing all of that. That's just my sense. I think there's still a lot of caution. And I think that caution is not going to go away one day. It's going to gradually dissipate. And at least in this country, it's going to depend on where you live. It really is. New York City is so different than, you know, Nebraska somewhere. Just the way people live, the population density, et cetera, et cetera. So I think the key to this is to recognize that we're in that river, we're churning along, and it's okay right now, maybe, and tomorrow it might not be. And so we can control what we can control. We can do what we can do. There's so much out of our hands. I can't fix this. I can't make this better. I can't even go visit my mother who lives in Nashville, Tennessee, a 4-hour drive away, because I'm uncertain about what that might mean for her health. We can't do it. You know, there's so much. So we can focus on what we can change. That's us. That's ourselves. That's our businesses. That's our communications. That's the way we present ourselves to our communities, to our clients, and to our prospects. And I think that communications broadly, content specifically, those two things are crucial to continuing to develop and nurture that community. And when you focus on your community they're going to be there for you now and when we get back, even if it's a slow return, you know. I think those are really all you can do, you know, is focus on communicating with people, give them content that's going to maintain your relationship, and find ways to build your community with Zoom online, with Zoom workouts, with virtual coffee clutches or happy hours, whatever it is appropriate for your group. Hmm.
I agree with a lot of the things that you said, specifically with the density of like big gyms and people wanting to avoid those like big density places. So like big events, sporting events, big gyms. And I don't think that's going to affect maybe the younger generation, the 18, 20, below 30 year olds. I think they're going to feel pretty invincible, as you do at that age, where you don't really give too much care for these things. But as the population gets older, they're going to be more susceptible to avoiding these places where there's high density of people. And so they're going to be looking for alternative options like the smaller studios, maybe the private facilities. And then they're going to be paying premiums for those places to get access to them. Plus the demand is going to spike as well for those particular locations and areas. So yeah, I think you're on the money there, and it is very much about this communication. But also another word that keep coming up throughout this whole podcast was change. Constant change. Yeah. Change today, change tomorrow. I'm checking updates quite regularly in different countries to see how things are playing out. I spent this morning messaging like lots of different people in different countries that I know in the fitness industry to see how things are playing out where they are, to see, okay, if it's happening like that over here, maybe something like that's going to change over here. And I'm just trying to gauge the situation, but it's constantly changing. Every single day there's a new rule, or there's a gray area, or there's a loophole, or someone's trying to exploit something, or there's a Me Too movement, or there's a conspiracy. There's a lot of different like variables that keep occurring every single day. So I think everyone just needs to be alert and on their toes and be mindful that you've got to be nimble in this environment. You've got to be very nimble.
I want to make agree with all of that, with the qualifier that I think in addition to having your communications be consistent and high quality, I think you need to stay in your lane, you know, this is not the time to throw out your communications strategy and start throwing spaghetti at the wall to see what sticks. It's not a time to destroy your pricing structure, right? And that's not my wheelhouse. I want to emphasize that. But
yeah.
We're gonna see. I think the virtual training is going to continue to be a big part of this. I think that the crisis accelerated that, and a lot of people have liked it. I talked to a lot of gym owners who say that their clients initially, particularly maybe the older folks, were kind of like, I don't want to do that. And now that they've done it, they love it. And a lot of them are going to want to keep doing that. So maybe there's, you know, this hybrid idea is going to become a bigger option for a lot of places. Maybe I go to the gym sometimes and maybe I stay home and get that one-on-one training. The one-on-one training and the small groups, whether that's in person or virtual, those are going to grow as well. And part of what you're going to need to do is communicate that to your people, that this is better. It's better for you because you can charge more money for it, but it's better for them because of the obvious reasons. Mm. So there's a lot of opportunity to see where things are going. I think it's important to just keep your eyes open and not freak out and abandon all your principles, particularly when it comes to marketing and communications. Those things don't change because of a crisis. The principles of your communication strategy and your content delivery, you know, those are still the same.
I just want to dive in there. If anything, in a crisis, a pandemic, a recession, you don't fall back, you fall forward. You push harder. Like you double output. That's how I operate. Anyway, my principle is if the market's harder, I'm not folding back. I'm pushing forward. I'm going to get even more aggressive. I'm going to put more content out because you need to throw more out there in order to get the same result, because it's harder. You've got to reach more people. So a lot of people in a recession, they contract. A lot of people in a pandemic, they contract. Yeah. When actually the biggest opportunity is expansion, whilst everyone else is folding back. And that's right. My philosophy and principle. And this is a great opportunity for a lot of businesses to become better, deliver better quality services, diversify what they do, become better communicators, and wake up from maybe bad habits that they were in before that they were getting away with in the good times. But now that things have gotten a little bit tougher, you've got to do things a little bit differently. So just want to wrap things up by directing people over to find out more about what you do, because obviously you provide an amazing service to a lot of facilities where they don't have to worry about content creation because you take care of that whole process for them. Where would be the best place to go and find out more about what you do, or if you've got any free resources that we could direct people to, Jay?
Yeah, my site is primefitcontent.com. That's prime, like the prime of your life, fit content, primefitcontent.com. And I have a lot of the focus is on the over 50 market, but I'm not limited to that. A lot of these principles are the same for everything, but I do have a number of free online resources, including a coronavirus communications kit that has some resources for you as a facility owner, and also some content that you can share with your people about online exercising and just general information that they're going to find helpful and engaging, and just some free content as well. And something that I've been told I don't stress enough is that I provide this content on a subscription basis to a large number of gyms and trainers, of course, but I also provide individual consulting and custom content for gyms and studios and trainers that want some help getting on their feet or want to have some original content that's specifically about what they're doing for their individual market. So that's primefitcontent.com. I also have a free group on Facebook called Prime Fit Pros Group. Mm-hmm. And I'm on Instagram, all the places.
Cool. So we'll check everything in the show notes. Guys, I definitely recommend you click the link in the show notes and go over to Jay's site and at least download the free resources that you're providing for COVID and the communication toolkit. That's awesome. And also join the group, because I know you provide a lot of free and really good content in there. But Jay, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of the podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you did enjoy it, I'd be really grateful if you could leave a short review on one of the platforms. And if you're a personal trainer in a commercial gym with 500 plus members and you want to fast track your income growth and learn how to sign multiple new clients a week, reach out to me personally through Facebook or Instagram and just drop me a private message so we can get the conversation started and see if you could be a good fit for one of our programs. All the links to my social can be found in the show notes so we can connect there. See you next week.